One of those common fears, which many of us might share on that long list of phobias, is the fear of heights. Guilty as charged. Whether it's climbing up a 10-foot ladder and stretching in that uncomfortable way, trying to clean out the gutters, or just casually walking across a swinging bridge in the middle of a beautiful landscape, we might feel that tingle of fear run down our spines. That I will never understand the person whose job it is to wash the windows of a skyscraper, hanging by pulleys and ropes with a squeegee in hand, or that person who shimmies up a tree with a chainsaw attached to their belt to cut it down piece by piece. Of course, fear is a good thing. It is healthy to have a certain amount of fear. It keeps us safe. It whispers in our ear when we are tempted to take that spectacular selfie hanging over the edge of the bridge, that's ill-advised. But too much fear can push us off balance. That when we're trying just to walk across the swinging bridge, our knees are weak. And our legs feel wobbly. We have a hard time breathing. We're just trying not to look down. And then our so-called friends start jumping and shaking the swinging bridge, and we freeze, terrified that we have to hold on to something or someone. That it can be overwhelming. But when we step out and walk across the bridge of faith, feeling off balance can actually lead us to good places. That when Saul, who would later become known as the Apostle Paul, was still breathing threats against the followers of Jesus. As he left to go to Damascus, he was nudged off balance. He had already checked with the high priest, doing his research and reconnaissance, taking down names, because if he found anyone in the synagogue in Damascus who might be a follower of Jesus, he was going to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem. That Saul did not think that the followers of Jesus should have a place at the table. But then on his way to Damascus, he was startled and stunned by that great light and heard this voice say, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And for the next 3 days, Saul could not see, stumbling around off balance. And around that same time, Ananias, a follower of Jesus in Damascus, heard a similar voice that said, "I want you to go to that street named Straight, and you'll find there Saul from Tarsus." Well, Ananias had heard all of those stories about this man from Tarsus, and he was terrified. He too was off balance. But when the two finally met, something happened. Saul could see again. And not only that, he saw the world around him differently. That he felt called to go to the Gentiles and to invite them as followers of Jesus to have a place at the table. Like Paul, whenever we are off balance, we discover those contradictions that are inside of us. That Paul was a Pharisee devoted to teaching others about the steadfast love of God, but he could not see how the harm he was doing others was a contradiction to the love of God. Perhaps it was one of those other common fears where we are afraid of those that we do not know. In the book, Ashes for Breakfast, we read the story about Tatnall Square Baptist Church, who used to be on the campus of Mercer University. And their story is like many other white churches during that time of integration, that when Mercer University integrated, they became afraid. Sam Oney was one of the first African students to integrate Mercer University, a product of Baptist missions in Africa. And the deacons of Tatnall Square Baptist Church had already sent word to Oney in his dorm room that he was not welcome to visit their congregation. But Oney was not the only student who might visit the church. In fact, the church, at the pastor's urging, had already created a committee to talk about race. But they never met. They were dragging their feet. They were afraid of the conversation. Until two African-American students visited the congregation unexpectedly one Sunday morning. And then the church mobilized. Meetings were planned in secret. The pastor tried to speak up on behalf of welcoming all people to the church, but there was more than one vote of confidence in the pastor. And that committee on race finally met. They brought a recommendation to the deacons. There were five people on the committee, and they had to decide whether the church was going to open its doors to all people. And the chairperson was telling the deacons that the first vote was 2-2. So the chairperson had to be the tie-breaking vote. And he voted against welcoming all people to the church. But then, in the exact same breath, in offering this recommendation to the deacons, he urged the deacons to reject what the committee brought to them. And even though the deacons still voted to close the doors to all people, I cannot tell you why he did two different things. Where first he voted against opening the doors to all people, and then urging the deacons to reject that very recommendation. That whenever we are off balance, it can reveal the contradictions that are inside of us. And in many ways, that's the work of the Spirit of God, to nudge us off balance, to pull us away from our center of gravity. So we have to reach out to hold on to something bigger. It's like where the prophet Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord brings good news to the oppressed, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, to the prisoners, to all who mourn. And every single person on that list is off balance. And if we listen to the leadings of the Spirit and we walk alongside of them, we will feel off balance as well. Samuel Wells says that we have four options as the body of Christ. That if we are to listen to the leadings of the Spirit in those ways, there are four different ways in which we might do it. And all of them are good. But one of them looks a little bit like Christ. That our first option is to work for others, which of course is the picture of missions that we think about, going to a place where there is needs and we come to do something for somebody else, to make their lives better, which is good, but it only looks at others through their problems, that we define them by their deficits. So instead of working for others, we can work with others, which is a shift. That power then is shared, that we come along others and we work together to make the world a better place. But not all problems are easily fixed. And what do? Then. So instead of working for others or with others, we can be for others. That we can stand up for what is good. We can advance important causes. We can work against those issues that are ingrained into the world. We can champion the disenfranchised. But in the end, it's about having the right ideas. And it can keep us distant from others. So instead of being for others, we can decide to be with others. That we can draw close to them, walk alongside of them, to get to know them. And if we end up facing a problem that's not easily fixed, we do not abandon them. We stay with them in the midst of their circumstances. That we draw close to them. And we are changed in the process. That all of those options bring good into the world, but one of them looks a little bit like Christ. Because it is the way of communion. That whenever we gather around the table of grace, we are reminded of how God comes to be with us, and how the ways of Jesus call us to be with others, and how the Spirit of God nudges us off balance to lead us to good places. Our communion table was designed and built by Eric Thompson. He's an artisan and woodworker in North Carolina. couple years ago now, he drove down to Auburn to meet with the Life is Calling Committee, and they sat in this very room, spread out amongst these first pews, and he asked insightful questions. And members of the committee told stories about this place, talked about its people, and discussed its history. The committee talked about who we are and who we feel called to be. And then he spent months building it by hand. All of this process was slowed down by the pandemic. So it was a couple years ago now when he called me to say that he had finished it. And we were talking about the details of its delivery when he said, "Oh, I don't want to forget to tell you that on the day that I was putting the final coat of lacquer on the table, that in the background the TV was on, and I was watching the memorial service for John Lewis, that great civil rights leader from Alabama, and I heard the stories from his life, and I saw pictures of him walking across that bridge, and it hit me. The connection with this table, that everyone has a place at this table because of the grace of God. It teaches us how we are to be with others. That this table is meant to shape all of our other tables. Who we gather with and how we gather with them. And by the grace of God, we are changed in the process. Amen.